to the Gamerland Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. With me, as always, is the one, the only, the warm steep that makes all the orange and cinnamon so delightful.
Yes.
The KevinMiller.com. Jump and press the circle button, Kevin.
Make it so, Justin Worsham.
We're enjoying hot tea tonight, just to add to
our adultedness.
Yeah. I feel like, for me, the hot tea that I'm enjoying,
isn't it good?
It is so good.
What is that?
That is orange cinnamon tea,
wow.
And you have added a little bit of half and half to it.
Yeah. It's like
and it is a little slice of heaven.
And this is only 2 calories.
Yeah. Well, in theory, all of the calories come from the milk. So
maybe
25, 50.
And there's only, and how much alcohol is in here?
None yet.
What?
Yeah, I know. See, for I like that you were like, this is an age thing. For me, the tea became like a masculinity thing.
Really?
Yeah.
I not to push back, but I have to inquire, how is tea not a feminine beverage?
It is a feminine. That's what I'm saying, is that by me
I see what you're saying.
Enjoying so much hot tea that I feel like my manliness is whisking away from me.
I see, and that's what I acquire or attribute it to age. Mm-hmm. That if you're a man, because you are, and you're drinking a lot of tea, then the testosterone that your body used to produce now produces Earl Grey hot.
To make matters worse, Earl Grey too intense.
It's more like a white tea.
I think it's because it's got a little black licorice in it, and I don't like that.
Does it really?
I think there's a black licorice.
Those
flavor,
Brits love their black licorice.
But licorice is very good for inflammation,
and it grows everywhere here in California.
Really, I didn't know that.
Oh, really? You go many of the wildlife nature trails around here. Take a deep whiff, and that's all the natural licorice. You're looking at me like I'm lying, but it's all very true.
I believe you, absolutely. I was actually, what was going on in my head is I wanted to say to the listeners, thanks for tuning in to Two Old Guys Enjoying Tea. Justin and Kevin will be back with more Gamerland and video game talk, but for now,
TTT.
Everybody buckle up for the exciting roller coaster of essential oils.
Which you also are rocking. You have become an old man. What do you drink while gaming, though? That's a fair question. Will you drink a hot cup of tea?
No, it's
not practical.
No, here's the thing. I have played some Assassin's Creed with this sitting next to me, and I let it cool, and then I take a hit.
Yeah,
off of it. But more often than not,
and then you have the tea.
Yes, more often than not, which is another thing. Maybe I could do it on the show.
Uh-huh. What are we talking about?
Take advantage of this recreational situation that we have with the marijuana.
I was wondering when you were going to. That actually was about a year later than I thought you were going to say that sentence.
Well, because I would have done it in January when it became effect.
Like, you had a
last
birthday?
January.
Yeah.
But technically, it took almost a year for most of the places to have a retail license. Mm-hmm. Once it was legal, they all had to apply to get a license.
And then go through the process.
And do all of that.
And on January 1. But because you work in radio, every radio DJ was like, wow, there's lines around the block. You know, that stuff wasn't hard to get before, right?
Exactly, right.
And then when I found out how much it was, I was like, we're not doing that. That's stupid expensive.
Oh, is it expensive?
But I don't know what you need. Is what I heard, like a gram is $200 or something. And people may be laughing at my ignorance right now. But
they should be. We're both ignorant to this a lot.
Enjoy the ignorance, because I was like, $200, but apparently you don't need that much, is what I've been told.
Yeah, because I feel like I used to get a Red Bud joint from a guy in high school for $2.
Yeah, see, there's got to be. But see, now the man's involved. See,
that's why I wanted. That's why I like it.
They got the retail space.
I like getting their cut.
They got to pay for the 401k.
How ironic is it going to be when marijuana does what the lottery could not for our public education system?
Oh, wow. Go on, meaning that it'll fund it?
Yes. Well, here's the thing.
Do the marijuana money in California go to schools, or does it just go to the police officers?
The lottery is supposed to... The money is supposed to go to schools, but from what I'm learning is that...
But like 2 cents to every dollar go to the school.
It's not enough,
it's
obviously.
It's ridiculous.
And the way that they sell it is that it's like almost everything. That's the way they sell it. But, and I don't know.
Just a lie.
I feel like, I just think it would be funny if they use that for lottery, but the actual marijuana money is what ends up filling those coffers.
Putting our state in the...
If I were a legislature, I would... That's how I would...
I'll vote for you right now.
I would pitch that at a meeting. Say, listen, we don't say this, but just for the fun of it, let's fold this money into the public schools. And when everybody's happy, we all get reelected, and they don't have to know where the money came from.
Yeah.
In theory.
When will you run for office?
I don't think I will.
I think in Burbank you could have a good shot at it.
Mm.
You're pretty well known. Your wife is an up-and-coming figure in the business.
I think I'd have to be retired. I think if things go bad with the radio and the podcasting, because here's the thing. I'm already dealing with issues of things that have come up on my dad podcast. Now there's a teacher at the school who listens.
Meaning that they're like, you can't say that?
No, they don't.
You do that to your children? What's wrong with you?
No, she likes it. She thinks it's funny, but now she knows lots of stuff about my personal life and all that stuff.
You do talk about your personal life outside of the radio show, though.
Yeah, exactly.
You are not a closed book.
No, I'm not good at not telling the truth.
Yeah. You're writing your memoirs right now.
Well, I got to get it out. Otherwise, I forget. You know this about me.
I know. I've read your memoirs.
I have a quick video game story to get this back on topic of the show that it was very touching, but it still connects to my parenting. I hope you don't mind and will indulge me. But that my sons, we had a comic that I started doing stand up with.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not seen him in probably a decade. Other than bumping into him at a show or two.
You going to say his name?
Nick Hoff.
Okay.
He's a very funny guy. We started doing the Clyde's contest at some open mics together and then kind of went our separate ways. Now he's opening for Larry the Cable Guy and Jeff Foxworthy.
Good for him.
Yeah, he's doing great. And he's a very funny guy. And he, I think, was just about to get married to his girlfriend when I met him. I obviously was already married. And so now he's got kids that are, I think, 4 and almost 2, I want to say, and another one on the way.
Wow.
And so they came over.
Oh, cool.
And it was one of those things where we do, you know, you think, oh, we should get together, and then nobody ever gets together.
Yeah, sure.
I was like, no, we're gonna make this happen. Right?
Yeah.
So we made it happen, and it was
adorable. You all had tea?
Yes.
Delicious hot tea?
No, we had probably a lot of bourbon. That's why I'm not having bourbon tonight.
I wondered.
So anyway, so what was great was watching my kids play with his kids, and his kids very, very young. And my Jacob, I'm probably way overanalyzing it, but I felt like it was an insight into what Jacob would be like as a father.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was helping teaching this little boy how to climb the tree and swing from the ropes.
Oh, that's
like,
cool. No, our kid is younger than yours, and he's always been a good big brother to
him. He's great, but this kid, total stranger.
Yeah,
like
he
just met him, right? And then cut to, they were saying, Nick said, like, oh, what else do you guys like to do? Do you guys like to play video games or whatever? And they said, yeah, we're playing Assassin's Creed. And then they go, oh, and they go, Indiana. The kid's name's Indiana. They go, Indiana, did you hear that? They like to play Assassin's Creed.
Oh, wow.
And the kid's like, 4.
Nice.
Like, that's what I said.
Sweet.
That's what I said. I go, wait a minute. Another cool dad in Southern California who's letting his kid play a game of death and fun. Like, this is great.
That's cool.
And immediately, like, to watch my kids' eyes light up like, because they we
get to do it now.
And then Jack being the salesperson, he's the younger one, he comes in and he's like, we have Assassin's Creed Origins. And then Nick was like, oh, that's great. Well, he has Black Flag because he likes pirates.
Oh, cool.
So he goes, we haven't played the Origins. And Jack goes, well, we could teach him. We could totally teach him. And he goes, oh, you really? And then he goes, oh, yeah. And I said, well, they go, Dad, can we? And I said, it's up to his parents. I said, I'm okay with it. And they said, yeah, that's fine. Go on in. So they went in the house.
Nice.
The parents sat outside with the 2-year-old who was still climbing the tree, having a good time. We had some drinks. But evidently, Jack came out to ask a question or something later on, and I said, one of the adults went in there. I said, is poor Indiana just watching play? He goes, no, actually, it's the opposite. They're literally teaching him how to play.
That's awesome.
Right?
That's so great.
I was like, I almost wept right there. I was so proud of my sons.
Because there's such a joy in the community aspect of gaming, and it can be seen even at that age. I've been watching the Overwatch League stuff, which you are or not watching.
No, I'm not watching.
Twitch has them. And so in between rounds, between teams, they'll throw up commercials. And they have a number of spots trying to get advertisers to buy spots. But they pointed out that gaming is an incredibly social experience. And Twitch is a platform in which that happens.
You should advertise a show on that.
Yeah, let's do it. They should advertise Twitch on our show.
Well, we could do what they call in the radio business barter.
Oh yeah.
But so people hate barter because basically it's a radio company saying, "Here, you give us your services, and we'll advertise you on the radio."
Yeah, exactly.
And very few companies like that idea, but it might be nice if they.
I don't
they got
think
open space.
Twitch cares, but we should advertise on Twitch because here's the deal: Vince,
I would totally do that.
Who was on our show last week for Stump, he put my Twitch channel on some. websites. I don't even know what he's done. And about every 10 minutes, I get a new follower. In less than a week's time, I have gone up over 200 followers.
That's awesome.
Over 200 followers. We'll see what happens. Like right now, if I open up my phone, there are more that have come in.
Wow.
In I don't know what he did.
I think
it's social.
Yes.
It's a social experience.
And I think that's what it is that it's like you just saw my sons on our recent thing on the Amazon. They had been watching some other guy play Mario Galaxy.
Mario Galaxy.
Yeah. And it's funny because I was going to, one of the things I want to talk to you about on the show is.
Let's do it now.
I wanted to ask you if you had hinted to this because they literally, within I think a week or two after you said I would be getting a Switch.
Yeah.
Is when they just randomly discovered Mario Kart. And I was
I didn't do it.
But I couldn't think of a time where you could have pulled them aside.
But it was something, and when you told the story, that I could see that you were heading in that direction.
I did.
Because here's what. The Switch is a portable gaming system. You get out and about in a neighborhood with affluent people with money to buy a Switch. They were going to see it and going to see the game. Yeah. It was inevitable. That thing is incredible. It goes everywhere. It's the future.
And I haven't seen any kids talk about it or anything at the elementary school. The only thing I can think of is that it's probably for an older demographic of like junior high. But you would think Nintendo would be elementary school.
It's absolutely elementary school. I mean, it's
all
not
words.
Any house. The cheese house.
The cheese house would be so fun to play Switch
in. The farmhouse. The slaughterhouse.
And because Switch is portable, you could play it in any of these houses.
All the houses. We don't own these devices, and we love them.
We should get Nintendo to send us them if we...
And barter. I'm just going to say Nintendo every 45 seconds.
We'll advertise for you if you send us each a Switch.
I think Nintendo would appreciate all the hundreds of listeners we have who already know about Nintendo, getting brand exposure to Nintendo.
It's all about impressions, baby. It's
cha-ching.
All about impressions.
I'm making it rain. There are Benjamins right now. Do you hear that? That's the rain.
I feel it. I hear it. I feel it. I feel it and I hear it. So I didn't get to really play anything last week.
No.
I didn't. Yeah. No. Although I did. This doesn't count.
Yeah.
This is how sad I had a video. How sad my video game week was is my wife couldn't sleep. And I remember I think we talked about it on this show, too, is that I read an article that if you're having a hard time sleeping, evidently playing Tetris for 5 to 10 minutes.
We talked about that. Yeah.
Will put you to sleep.
And I don't agree. It winds me up. It makes me like I then need to solve the puzzle.
Here's what I think. I think I'm very susceptible to a placebo because my wife couldn't sleep. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, well,
you play Tetris and that put her to sleep?
That's exactly how it happened.
Huh.
It didn't put her to sleep. She eventually went to sleep, but it definitely put me to sleep.
Really?
But I'm a guy who could, I go in there and I crash out anyway.
Yeah.
But I felt a little awake. I have this after the show where I'll go in and I kind of have to chill out for a little bit before I can go to sleep. But anyway,
we should play video games.
Oh, we should play Tetris. What if we did that?
We fall asleep in each other's arms.
That would be such a fun bit, though. Like, okay, it's time to start playing Tetris. Hey, Kevin, wake up.
Do you get Tetris? Where do you have it?
I just bought it on my phone, on the iPhone. I know.
Do you know, though?
Because
I'm incredulous. I don't know what you're going to say.
I know that I feel, in my opinion, I guess I'm saying I know to me, the gaming is not supposed to be on your phone.
Yeah. I wasn't going to count it, but I wasn't going to fight you right now.
No,
it's not real gaming.
It was not.
But you also, you have a Nintendo. You have a Wii. It's over there, right?
it's
in that closet.
It's ironic that if I would have bought a Game Boy Color or whatever on eBay and played that, that is more gaming than playing it on my phone.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Even though the graphics card is 1 billion percent terrible.
Absolutely.
But it's not a real... Here's why.
And you know what's depressing about the new Tetris on the iPhone? Is that it's not effing Tetris.
It's Fetris.
It's what EDM did to pop music. Mm-hmm, in that it's like, there's all these like weird things that you could do now that they made it like...
Yeah, they did something to
Candy
it.
Candy Crush, and then there's... And it's... I want Russian classic music.
Yeah. See, I think one of the distinction of why smartphone gaming is an app and not an actual game is quite simple. There are no controllers on this. There are no buttons, right? Right. And I think that there is something about the hand-eye coordination that happens where you're actually touching and moving a physical object that separates it from the app experience. Don't get me wrong. I play all sorts of games on here. Seven Wonders Leaders, just to have the expansion. We talked about Seven Wonders, the card game. Now Leaders is available. I love me playing some of those games. I've been playing Scrabble on my iPhone for nearly a decade. I love it. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's not gaming. It's
tablet not, also not gaming?
Not. I don't think so.
Not gaming.
Some of them. They're, you know, the kids, we've really kind of gone down a dark rabbit hole with the availability of tablet stuff. Mm. So you know Steve Jobs was notorious for not letting his children play on tablets. Which seems like a guy that sells crack and then keeps his kids in the DARE program.
He didn't invent it for kids.
That's fair.
He wasn't trying to market it to kids.
Like. But the thing is, though, because there is a ton of things that are available for kids on the tablets.
And right. But
it's fine.
The purpose of it, I think, I think that's more of an after effect of it being so intuitive.
That's true.
Which was his intent.
Yeah, that's true. And so I look over, my daughter is playing, she's two, she'll turn three next week. She's playing some game on the Kindle where we're playing Smurf Kitchen. And so she's like, oh, and she knows how to do all the things in Smurf's Kitchen. And it's pretty clever. And they teach you, and then they have a recipe and you get to do all the things. And you can, when you're cooking, you bake something, you have to press on that little old fashioned wood furnace pumper to keep the temperature just right. And then when you have to chill the Smurf Berry ice cream, you have to pump on the same thing. And if you pump too hard, it freezes. It's Smurf logic. But then she switches it like, Daddy, I'm done with that game, new game. And she flips over to something and it's just toys going around in a circle that like an isometric view of a train set, and you can touch them. That's it. You can touch the tree and it'll go ding, ding, ding. And you touch the train track and it'll go, you can touch a button and it'll become night. Touch another button.
How is this game found?
We'll see on the Kindle, Amazon Free Time.
Right.
There's just always new stuff.
Yeah.
There's always new stuff. And a lot of it is pretty great. There is a small section of stuff that I don't think should be considered existing. It doesn't seem like it should have been allowed. Like,
guys, we don't have something free to give to the free time people.
Yeah.
Make something now.
Okay, here's a baby doll with oversized eyes.
Johnson, you nailed it. You're a VP now.
What is this game? And so it made me kind of realize, like, this is a bit of a... I'm like, you have a pile of toys over there, and here you are touching the electronic ones.
Two-dimensional, right.
Yeah, and so I don't know. I go back and forth, and I'm like, that's clearly not a game. That's an experience. And I would say...
Probably not even good enough for a museum, it sounds like.
It's not. Like, maybe it's a museum. Like, you have nothing better to do at the museum. Like, the cheese house is not good. But you keep moving on.
Thanks for bringing it up.
I think the other thing about even in tablets, like games like Plants vs. Zombies or any of the big ones, is that the processing power is so small that the form that the game takes is not quite game-ish, right? Like, you can play... you can chew any level down in about a minute, right? Mm-hmm. Even Fruit Ninja. Like, you do it, and you did it.
Yeah.
All right. And again, it's good. So there's limitations to the technology. I think it's like, it's a watered down version of gaming, in the same way that when I explained to my brother that I'm a gamer, he laughed and told me that unless you are carving things and painting things in the form of miniature orcs, And I quote, you actually use a knife and accidentally gouge yourself and are bleeding on the point where you may pass out, you are not a gamer.
Yeah.
That was his mark of, like, tabletop gaming.
That's
is real
gaming.
That's gaming. What you do is electronic games. That doesn't count.
It's cheating.
Exactly. You're using a computer.
Does he have a word for it?
He calls it gaming. He says
video gaming is gaming.
He would say video gaming, you're playing video games. No, don't get me wrong. My brother loves video games.
Yeah,
as well.
No, yeah, but yeah. I like this idea.
He's like, no, gaming is the pure form of games, and what you do is video games. That's
I like
electronic.
This because of the smugness coming from the little brother.
Yeah, you can hear it. Right?
Yeah,
it's totally
I tasted it.
Yeah.
I was in a cheese house.
And it was that I'm not credible because I have never worked on a figure at 2 a.m., and taken my X-Acto knife and my tip of my finger and then been
like,
Which he's done, like
multiple times.
Oh, yeah.
But to
he's an army man.
To counterpoint him, does he still do this?
Oh yeah.
Oh really?
Yeah, okay. I could pull up his Instagram feed, where you can follow him right now. Panzer Forge is his name. He does incredible artwork, and again, he's an army man. He's a career military guy, and still, this is what he does to unwind: is he gets these miniature and paints them, and teaches other sergeants how to paint.
So this is, but what's this? So this isn't a Dungeon and Dragon.
No, he does Warhammer and then Dust, which is like Warhammer, and then Warhammer 40K.
Warhammer also has a video element.
Yeah, so a lot of Warcraft stuff actually stole from Warhammer, much in the way that
doesn't help your point.
What's that?
That Warcraft stole from Warhammer. That like says that. That's him saying, well, yeah, you're
all fun gaming. He's totally right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that they can be different branches. I think there's a legitimacy to video gamings that transcend, because you can do so much. There is a ton of disciplines involved in video game creation that are not seen in other games. You can deal with 2D creation, this modeling stuff, paint theory. That's about it. I mean, talk about the number of disciplines necessary to pull off a video game from story. And there's a little of that in the tabletop world. But obviously 3D modeling, skinning, music, rendering. I mean, it's like you're going to outmatch them pace for pace. So they're legitimate. Plus, they also make, 100 times more than any of the tabletop world. But I do think that the groundwork was played within the tabletop game, because like Magic the Gathering kind of started that whole thing, and then Blizzard comes in and steals that. And so Warhammer built a lot of stuff, to the point where when Warcraft showed up, they lost a lawsuit to Warhammer and the people that make it, Games Workshop is the name of it, because they were just stealing their ideas. The orcs and the elves and all that stuff. To be fair, it's all lifted from a Tolkien universe that they then made their own thing. But you're not supposed to talk about that.
Well, Tolkien's not around, so he can't.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
His estate.
But the Warhammer, yeah. So the thing that's super fun about the Warhammer universe that I've always really appreciated, my brother is an encyclopedia of this stuff. Like, you can just ask him and he just you tap into it all. And so they have two branches that they did main ways, where there was Warhammer, which happens in this Tolkien universe with elves and wizards and warlocks and orcs. And then they have Warhammer 40K, which happens 40,000 years in the future, where there are space marines and these aliens called the Tyranid that look like aliens from the movie Alien. But they also have space orcs, which are super cool orcs that use robots and things. And then they have the Dark Elders, which are pretty much dark elves that are there. So they have these two branches going at the same time. And in the 40K one, it's the future is all war, and there are all these like desolate and war machines happening. And what they've alluded to many, many times in the game is that the universe that is the Warhammer, the classic Tolkien version, is actually a rogue planet somewhere in the universe that is developing on its own, unaware that there is this
space version
happening all around them.
That's interesting.
And it's not happening in some fantasy past. Yeah. It's a part of this 40,000 years from now future.
So instead of a long ago in a galaxy far, far away, it's just right here. You don't know about it.
Just nobody's bothered to land on that planet yet and notice that there are ogres and orcs and
like
dark wizards and that kind of thing.
I like that, but I dig that.
Yeah, it's really fun.
And would it be a hassle? But I would be curious to see how many of our listeners are into the tabletop gaming as well. Like, can we create a Facebook poll?
Let's do it.
And or a Twitter poll.
Where you can go to
Facebook.com/Gamerland or at Gamerland Pod, I think is our Twitter handle.
And I'll put a Twitter feed up on my handle.
Kevin Miller. Do that. So the Kevin Miller. And I just would be curious to see. I just want to know, yes, I also do tabletop gaming.
Yeah, so that's the question. Or is it three part? I only video the games. I only tabletop the games. I tabletop and video games. Is that the question?
Is that
what you want to know?
Yeah, because it would be interesting if we had such a large subset, because I feel like a lot of our listeners are probably more hardcore nerd than they are hardcore gamer.
Yeah.
And so
what's so funny here, at Ecclesia, the church I work at, I've discovered that we have a very vibrant micro community of game developers, of board game developers
at the church.
I looked
at board games,
like we talked around, and there are like a dozen of us who, as a hobby, make board games.
I've heard so many people that are doing this now. It's like a fun thing.
It's a fun thing. It's super accessible. Here in Burbank, there's first nights or first play nights, and you can go and see other people's board games and card games. And it's like an opportunity to play test it among strangers and friends.
It's funny how we stumbled upon this, because literally as I was folding laundry before we came out to do the show.
Which is your favorite pastime.
It's the best. And, there was a joke on the Big Bang Theory where Sheldon was making them play like this old game he found on eBay, and it's notorious as the most complicated board game.
Nice.
It's called World War II 1943 North Africa. And it's got like multiple manuals and everything. He goes, okay, first thing we have to do is figure out what the weather's going to be. And she goes, well, it's the desert, so is it going to be hot? And he goes, hold on. Like, he puts up his finger. He rolls some dice. He goes, oh. And then he scrolls through the thing, and he goes, and he does his finger up again, and then he rolls the dice again, and then he switches to a different book and looks through it. He goes, yes, it's hot.
That's
but evidently,
fantastic.
This game takes like 100+ hours or something to play through.
And that's the thing; they're definitely a relic from a time period where there were no computer games, where you needed imagination to come up with. And you know, if you go really far back, when like board games were first starting to come out, there are some incredibly complex, ridiculous games like Hey Ma, there's a goat on the roof. This friend of mine referenced it and said, hey, I know you love board games. This is a family favorite of ours. And, you know, during the Mousetrap era, where board games had plastic things that were integrated with it, this is an enormous board game that I've seen on YouTube. And you're going to pull it up. And in the game, you move around on this kind of weird board. And then there are this thing where you get 10 cans, you collect them or have to spend them. Mm-hmm. And then if you land on these certain locations, you can jump on a nearby plastic object like a stump. Or,
so it's like 4D chess almost? Or?
Yeah, except for it's a board game of sorts. But then you can pull a card that says ring the bell. And every time you ring the bell, you have to take the farmer and take him out of the barn and and put him outside. And if you ring the bell and he's out, you have to put him in. And the goal is to have the most amount of tin cans and get on top of the roof by the first, I suppose.
Oh, hey, Pa, there's a goat on the roof.
There, yeah, what is that what I said?
Hey, Ma, I thought I say that's Ma. What I heard.
Yeah. Maybe I'm thinking of the expansion pack. but this was at a time where
look at that.
There was nothing better to do. And game developers, this was the material that was available to you. And I just think this is evidence of like the need to play a game is just so a part of our souls that they manifest themselves in every generation with whatever material is around. Much like musical instruments are found in every society. It's
right.
Like you're always going to find somebody that's like, I got to play a game.
They play like Yahtzee, even Pirates of the Caribbean.
Even Pirates of the Caribbean.
All right, we're going to take a break, come back and do a little... the game is just Stump.
Stump!
And we'll do that after this. Flo Rida, a.k.a. Florida.
Oh.
Wobble.
I thought that was you.
No. I hate you. I hate you. Oh. I hope it came through in my voice what you got to see on my face.
Wow.
Hook, line, and sinker. I hope that was good, right? Like,
I definitely was like, wow. I thought he knew me better than that. I know this is.
Oh, that's impressive. That was fun. That was fun for everyone. I really, truly hope people listening got to. I hope so, because Vince just said stumped in the chat room. I did get busted.
Your musical career has definitely expanded.
All right, so we're going to play It's Just the Stump game.
Oh,
and
it's just Stump.
And it's who we have in the Discord. We're going to do that
you
again.
You can choose. I've chose the last 2 weeks.
Now, if you want to do this, if you are listening to the show live, to do is go to bit.ly/gamerland.
That always makes it sound like a joke. Like, you go to bit.ly. There's nothing there. That's
jump
the
and
bit.
Press the circle button. And,
nailed it.
Yeah. And so,
Matt, is that you? Is that here?
So you could go there and you just sign in and you download the Discord. I've heard that it's better to download the app or program onto your computer than just use the browser.
I tried to use the browser on my phone and it was sort of like using AOL. Like, what's happening right now?
And then you join that, and then there's the Clorox Lounge, and then you could sit there, you could listen to the show, you could chat with everybody, and then eventually someone randomly gets chosen and drug into our podcast live call chat room, and that is something that only Kevin and I have control over.
That's right, yeah.
We pluck you up like a giant, like Gulliver on his travels. We pluck you up and we drop you into.
Is the expression pluck you up? I haven't heard that one before.
I mean, maybe I just made it up.
I love it. Pluck you up.
Spread it like wildfire.
That's a classic.
AJ Assassin is in there.
Okay.
We have Des Wolf, Diamond Jack, Dog Dragon Lover, Doodle Noodle, Mahogany Vince, Matt View 72. I like that. I hope it's a play on Matthew because that's fun for everyone.
I think it's just Matthew.
Officer Gelatin, Ryan Bodash, Senpai Monica, and Sly Daniels.
All right, so we've heard from Vince, and we've heard from Matt, and yep. We've heard from Ryan and Ryan. So you pick one.
I pick one. Let's see. I'm going to go. Wait, who? Vince is Mahogany Vince.
Yeah, yeah, we've heard. Yeah.
I'm going to go Doodle Noodle. Let's see.
Doodle Noodle.
Let's see.
Not
working. Hold on.
Welcome to the thing. We're going to pluck and drag.
We're going to
pluck and drag. Welcome to the stump. You've been plucked and dragged.
And then hopefully. Oh, there he is.
Oh,
who's this?
Okay, it's my moment.
Oh, yeah! We got a live one! Yeah!
All right, Doodle Noodle, can we know your real name?
Or what? How do you want to...
unlockable achievement? You haven't unlocked that.
All right, all right.
Wow, look at this!
So we
Noodle on fire! Look at her go!
I unlocked my intro music.
That's fair. Can we just call you Oodle then, by your last name, Miss Oodle?
Oh, she's got intro music. Okay. Oh, do you need us to shut up so you can play your intro music?
Do you know that's happening right now?
I know it's happening. The question is... All right. She's going to need an assist. Right. If we're going to work this out, let's see here.
Did you do that on purpose?
Yes, I did.
There you go.
There we go.
All right.
There we go. Doodle Noodle coming to us. Yes. ABBA. Now, Doodle Noodle, hold on. Let me do this so we could create a little bed for
good.
You.
Yeah.
Doodle Noodle, are you from Australia, much like the ABBA?
No, unfortunately, I wish.
Why do you
wish? You unfortunately wish it? Meaning you wish, period, unfortunately.
Nowhere.
Australia
is a little more interesting nowhere.
There is a lot of nowhere in Australia, though, to be fair.
I was
going to
say, it's a more interesting nowhere, though.
It's just an exotic nowhere to us. Have you played Stump before?
No, I haven't.
Have you listened to Stump?
Yes.
Good. Yes. Well, do you know what generation of games we are in our series of Stumps based on the generation of games? Eighth is wrong. Sorry, goodbye. No, we are in the fifth generation of games.
Fifth generation of games. Consoles, my bad.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's fair. No, we are currently in the eighth generation. In our Stump game, we are today focusing on the fifth generation of game. This happened somewhere mid-90s to beginning of 2000s, depending on where you cut it. What year were you born?
1999.
All right, so that's after. You're at the end of the fifth generation. So.
Have a joke?
My first console was a PS2, if that says anything.
It does. It says everything. So hopefully you know lots of things about what you would call... ancient history.
What was the first game you had on the PlayStation 2? Like
Fly Cooper.
Yeah. Woo!
Look at that.
All right, Doodle Noodle. Here's how the game works. I'm going to ask Justin a question. He's going to answer it. You simply have to agree with his answer or disagree. If you disagree, you may offer what you think is the correct answer for double the points. So, here's how it goes. In the fifth generation, this is often called the 32 or 64-bit or 3D era of games. It featured the PlayStation, the Nintendo 64, and the Sega Saturn, as well as the 3DO and the Atari Jaguar. Justin, which of them won that generation of games, meaning which one sold the most consoles?
Now, I know that there's been a lot of commenting amongst the social medias and the people on those. There's been the twits and the tweets and the instas and the snaps.
Yep.
And a lot of people have been commenting about, am I throwing the game?
I saw that Reddit thread.
Right.
How do they make you feel?
I got to be honest.
Please do.
People act like I don't love the It's Just Stump game that we play.
It's Just Stump.
And that's what I said.
And don't correct me, Doodle Noodle. Not on my show. I have the ability to pluck you buck. I pluck you up.
And pluck you back?
And sift you back.
Let's leave Doodle Noodle's plucking alone right. And just return to the question.
All right, cool. All right. Give me the consoles again.
Yeah. They are the Nintendo 64.
Uh-huh. Familiar.
The PlayStation.
Uh-huh.
The Sega Saturn.
Uh-huh.
The 3DO. And the Atari Jaguar.
Which one sold the most? The Nintendo, absolutely. Hands down is the correct answer. I'm telling you, Doodle Noodle, this is the one.
All right, Doodle Noodle, do you agree or disagree with Justin?
I do agree.
You do agree?
I think that, yes.
You're both wrong!
Oh.
The PlayStation far outstripped all of the consoles.
I knew that. That was him trying to throw her.
All right. Yes, no, they were groundbreaking one.
Here's the real truth.
Yep.
I did know that, but I thought no matter what, they were going to disagree with me because I'm so bad at this. And it blew up in my face.
You thought too hard. You should
totally
pluck yourself. All right.
I totally did.
This era saw Nintendo's two greatest commercial failures, Justin.
I'm listening.
The worst showing it ever did was on the 64DD. Are you familiar with it?
No.
Okay. It was a peripheral for the Nintendo 64 that had a rewritable disk drive and a low-grade internet connection. The concept was that players could be able to generate their own content and share it with each other over the internet or over the discs. It went nowhere. But there were like 10 titles that released on that. That was their worst selling item that Nintendo has ever released. During this generation, what was the second lowest selling item that has ever been released by Nintendo?
So this is a peripheral or it could be a game?
Not a game. It is a piece of hardware that they have released that sold the second, knowing that the 64 Double D was the worst selling item that they sold.
That doesn't help me.
What is the second most worst selling item from this era of games?
I would not.
From this era of consoles.
So it's the consoles altogether. So it's not just the on the Nintendo.
It's
for
a
that Nintendo.
No, it's a Nintendo. It's a Nintendo thing. If you went into the store, you look and there's hardware sold by Nintendo, and they have this object sitting on the shelf.
Right.
It is the second worst
Nintendo.
Yes.
All right. So this is the. I'm going to say this is going to be an easy one for you, Doodle Noodle, because I'm being transparent. I'm no longer trying to play the game and help you.
Yeah.
I'm being completely transparent here, and I'm going to say it was some kind of a gun. That there was a gun that would work with the controller, and I think that was the second worst peripheral.
All right, second worst peripheral, some sort of gun.
Yeah.
Doodle Noodle, do you agree or disagree?
I disagree.
You disagree?
I do.
Okay.
Is there a reason why?
Yeah.
I feel like the gun would not have been like the worst selling one. Because I think it was on the Super Nintendo. That light gun was like, you know, with Duck Hunt.
It was on the Nintendo, you jerk. Thanks for making
She's it also
cool.
right. It was on both.
can I hang up on her now?
No, you can't. She's doing well. What? You both have lost a point. What do you have a guess as to what the second worst selling hardware Nintendo has ever released is?
I do have a guess.
Okay. Remember, there's no Googling in this game.
No. What's Google? No.
Okay. Or Bing.
I at first was thinking it was the Virtual Boy, but I'm not sure that was.
What is the Virtual Boy? I don't even know what that is.
Do you have an answer then?
Is that your final answer?
Sure. Yeah.
Doodle Noodle, you are correct.
Whoa!
Justin is wrong.
Look at that.
Doodle Noodle, enlighten us. What is the Virtual Boy?
It was ahead of its time. It was like the really bad PSVR Nintendo.
Yeah, that's right. It was a one. It was also called the Red, and it was a three goggle experience like a Game Boy, but you wore it on your face. It would actually sit on the desk and then you prop your head up into it because it was so heavy you couldn't have it stripped to your face. And it only displayed games in red.
It was vector lines. For, like, true rendering.
There was nothing interesting about it at all. It's a joke. And it was in development for 5 years before it was brought to the public.
That's what they came up with?
Yeah.
I hope those people don't have jobs still.
They probably do. It's Nintendo. Hey, so you pull ahead, Doodle Noodle. You have 1 point
good job.
For guessing Virtual Boy. There are five questions since it's the fifth generation. Moving on, number three. Justin, this was the end of Atari's place in the home console war.
I remember it well.
They were the first to bring a 64-bit system to market.
Yep.
And even offered a low-cost next-generation expander with the Jaguar CDR retailing for $100. But all of it was no good because Atari was eventually sold. Who purchased Atari?
I know this, and I know this. I'm telling you I know this. When you hear it, was Sega.
Sega
purchased Atari. Final answer.
Okay. Doodle Noodle, do you agree or disagree?
Fully disagree.
What?
Wow. All right. And do you offer a alternative answer?
Oh, that means I'm wrong already.
You know, I think I read about it in
Ancient
Atari
Gaming History
Game Guide one time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I think I heard Kevin mentioned something about it on an earlier podcast. I'm not entirely sure, though. All I know is they kind of partner with the plug-and-play type. I don't know if it's the at something company to make their flashbacks or whatever. I don't know the full answer, but I know it's not Sega.
Well, that's all it takes because you are correct. He is wrong.
Oh.
But no points for plug and play guests, so you just get 1 point, not double. No, the answer was Hasbro. Hasbro purchased Atari, who was then purchased by Infogrames, who then renamed themselves Atari. So
comes full circle,
which is why we still had Atari up until the beginning of the century.
That's fun for everyone.
All right, all right. So by my math, you have 3 points: one for the double in Virtual Boy, and one for just now. Good job, Justin. You have no points.
Nailing this.
You can do it. We're gonna get into your wheelhouse here. All right. Originally developed alongside Nintendo, the PlayStation.
Mm.
You've heard of it?
I've heard of it.
It was originally developed alongside Nintendo. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, but when that didn't work out, they went over to Sega, which might have been what I thought was what you were remembering, but apparently you were just making that up. But their CEO, Sega's CEO, said when Sony came to them and said, we want to develop a console with you, Sega. Sega's response from their CEO was, Sony doesn't know how to make hardware. They don't know how to make software. That is a stupid idea. Uh-oh. Why would we partner with them?
Yeah. Whoops.
So, of course, we know the PlayStation did really well. What was the very first game that the PlayStation was bundled with? I'm sorry, the PlayStation 1 was bundled with what game?
Yeah, Crash Bandicoot.
Crash Bandicoot.
Crash Bandicoot, final answer. That is the correct answer. If you disagree with me on this one, Doodle Noodle, you will be embarrassed because I'm pretty sure you will lose 8 points when I score one.
Sure, sure, sure. Doodle Noodle.
I might agree because I do think I have seen a Crash Bandicoot-themed PS1.
Ah, very good.
I agree.
All right, you agree. Then you are both wrong.
Can you guess it?
I'm sorry. It's actually one of Stump's.
Still has more points than you.
Oh, damn!
Oh, I'm so sorry. We lost connection with her.
Yeah, she was on Discord. It doesn't do
that's so weird. Well, thanks for coming on, Doodle Doodle.
Fun fact:
so weird.
The PlayStation had no bundled games. It was the very. It was a pack and play game was what they were called at the time. It had no pack and play games. They shipped it without a companion game to play with.
I love that. It is a fun fact, and I want to defend you for a second because somebody in the chat room commented that they love that we pick questions that are all about games that are 10 years older than our listeners.
Yeah.
And I think that what they're not understanding is we're going back in time and working our way forward.
Yeah, see, you need to pay attention to the show.
Yeah.
It makes me laugh that people listen to the show so well and don't retain any of it. Two episodes ago, we did the first three generations, because that was ancient history. Last week, we did the fourth generation of consoles. This week, we did the fifth generation of console. Doodle Noodle, tell them what we'll do next week.
The
sixth. Hey! She gets a jet ski.
She doesn't get a point for that, does she?
No. Oh, she gets 6 points for that.
Oh, what the hell?
All right.
Stupid game.
Question number five. This is worth all the marbles, Justin. Of course, the PlayStation was marketed by the use of the CD format. That was like their thing, and that was one of their recipes for success.
I remember it well.
it, of course, greatly reduced the price of games, which cartridges were very expensive to build. This made it a lot easier to get into the hands of consumers. But, you know, they used storage for only the memory stuff instead of making the disc readable, writable, which would have been a nightmare. They used memory cards. What size were the memory cards for the PlayStation?
My first instinct was 1 megabyte.
Okay,
but I think I'm wrong, and I'm gonna rephrase the question again.
What's
the first one?
Yeah, for the PlayStation, the
for
one
the
we're talking about.
PlayStation 1.
Yeah. I'm careful not to call it the PlayStation 1 because technically that was a retrofit, a rebrand that came out after the PlayStation. We're talking about PlayStation.
Oh, that's rough. It's got to be. See, I feel like I want to say 8. I want to say it's 8 megabytes because I feel like that's enough. But just for the record, I want to know that somewhere in my gut that I'm not listening to, I said 1 megabyte. But final answer, 8 megabytes. I will also add that is the correct answer.
Doodle doodle.
Disagree.
You disagree, and you offer a alternative answer for
great.
Double points.
Now I'm already wrong.
I feel like somewhere at home I have a memory card that says like 2 or 4 megabytes on it. PlayStation.
Two or four? That seems like an odd number. Do you want to pick one? Because I guarantee it doesn't say 2 or 4. 4. Okay, you're both wrong.
Yeah. Oh, you moron! This was your console. You can't even remember.
No, it was 1 megabyte.
I was 1 megabyte. Son of a
bitch! Oh no!
Let's just enjoy that reality, other than the fact that you should have listened to your gut. But that an entire game was stored on 1 megabyte. That's an email attachment.
Exactly. Like to me, today I was an email attachment. You're like, whoa, calm your brakes. Like,
Yeah.
Because the reason I got so hung up on it is that I remember that we would play Madden and we'd keep our entire league.
Yeah.
We would put it and we would keep it on a memory card. I was like, I don't think you could keep an entire league on megabyte.
On the original PlayStation, the max card size was 1. The original. They later had 2 and 4, like you were suggesting, and they had 8 megabytes. That was more common on the PS2, but the original card was 1 megabyte.
Oh, boy.
Doodle Noodle, congratulations, you the winner of Stump.
Yay!
So you get to ask us a question. That's how this quiz show works.
Why am I playing this?
I had one.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I go. All hey, right. Doodle Noodle, you won Stump. You get to ask us a question. Oh, that's...
Okay.
Oh, I'm antsy.
I actually had a question that I had in mind, and I've been planning for 83 years.
83 years?
Are you making a pizza right now? What are you doing?
Yeah, what does that sound?
I think it's a reference from Captain America.
The thumping noise in the background. Are you making a pizza or are you kneading dough?
I'm flipping an eraser. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
That would have been my 5th guess.
That's right.
All right. What was your question? I'm sorry.
Okay. There was a game console, and this would be from around your guys' time. Nintendo licensed 2 of their products for this company to use.
Oh, okay.
She's stumping.
The games that were created ended up being the worst titles of their franchises ever.
Is she stumping us?
What is the name of the company and the console these games were made for?
You know what ails me is that...
Listen, you little hoochie. We do the stumping around here. You don't come on our show asking us. You're supposed to ask us questions about like, hey, what kind of...
You know or not, Justin.
It doesn't matter what I know. It matters what I answer and what I don't answer.
God was so kind to you by not giving you a daughter because they just unravel you. You should see his face. He doesn't know what to do.
I've been planning this for me.
You don't talk to me.
You don't do that. You stop it or I'll say stop again. All right, I'm sorry, Doodle Noodle.
Hit us, Justin.
Now, if we get the answer right, does this do we unlock the achievement to know your name?
Oh, that's a good question.
Mm. You unlock the achievement for being closer to unlock the loot achievement.
I don't understand.
That's it's like a gold,
it's like
not
girls
the platinum.
Driving nuts.
Yeah, it's like
no straight
the
answers.
Platinum would be making me a bit.
Oh, all right. Let's see. Here we go. How can we do? I don't even know how I could do that.
So
yet,
say
but
your,
I'll get there.
Say your question okay. again. The
okay, Nintendo licensed two of its it gave this company the right to make games for two of Nintendo's franchises for this company's console that was released around your guys' time. I think it was late 80s, early 90s. I don't have the exact number off the top of my head. I think it was early 90s.
So like third generation consoles, yeah.
Yeah, and these two games from these two Nintendo franchises ended up being the worst games in the franchises, like, to date. They're just laughably awful.
So I understand. These franchises were originally owned by Nintendo, and then they farmed them out to
Nintendo
another developer.
Still owns them.
Yeah.
Let this company use the brand and make the games, and they ended up being the worst games in the franchises. Yeah. What is the name of the company and the console that these games were made for?
Oh, not the franchises. Damn it. Okay.
You can say the franchises, too.
Because it's
not part of the answer, but you can. My guess is Capcom.
Well, Capcom isn't Nintendo. Capcom is its own separate entity.
I know, that's the point.
I know I should know this one. It really irks me. I probably even came across this last week.
But what I'm saying is that, isn't that the point? The point is that it used to be a Nintendo franchise.
But Capcom never released hardware.
It's still a Nintendo franchise.
It's hardware.
She's saying that are you saying they licensed it for a console or they licensed it for like their own?
They let them make games.
Yeah.
On this console.
So it's its own system.
On a different console.
Yeah, it's like, I think it's the Panasonic something or other. It's like a Panascope, something like that.
So we're supposed to name the console or the developer?
No, and I can tell it's wrong based on your tone. I'm working it out here.
We're phoning a friend, jerk.
I really want to Google it because you didn't say no Googling. But
don't Google it. No Googling.
I think it is something by Panasonic, and because I remember somewhere in the back of my brain this really terrible version of Mario where he has like brown skin, where he looks like he's like colored poorly, and like you look at it and you're like that's a ripoff of Mario, and it was actually somebody making a Mario game
because it wouldn't have, so it has to be.
The company, the name of the console, and the rounding points, what franchises.
Oh, and there's children.
Flip an eraser at their head. Flip an eraser at their head.
My best guess is the Panasonic, and I can't pull the name of the company or the console.
Make one up.
Okay. The iBox 7.
I disagree with Kevin. Okay.
What is it? Tell us.
Okay. The company is Philips.
Oh, I said Panasonic. I should have said Philips because we talked about this last week.
The console is the Philips CDI.
Which I talked about last week as being the most expensive console.
Yes, I knew you should know it, Kevin. Yep. You disappoint.
But what were the franchises?
Mario and Zelda, The Legend of Zelda.
Really?
I didn't know about the Zelda game. I knew the Mario game. I got my P's wrong. I should have said Philips.
That was fun.
I'm disappointed in you.
I am too. Can we go back?
No.
I was expecting a personal question, not a question about trivia.
Yeah.
No.
Pluck her out of the room. Thanks for stopping by, Stoodle Noodle.
All right. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
That was good. I like Doodle Noodle. She's good times. I played a little Mamma Mia for her.
Seemed appropriate.
Yep. All right, let's take a break, and then we got Tales from Tyria.
Can't wait.
We're doing another Star Wars.
I wanted to, but I need some more time to refine it. But I do have a game I want to tell you about that I've been playing that you will be sad to hear exists.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You're going to be stoked. But all that after Tales from Tyria.
Oh, boy.
Are there several songs playing right now at once?
I hope not, but it's possible.
Oh, I finally got out of that cave.
I don't know why that tickles me every time, but it really does. So what got me this time was, I don't know if you did it intentionally, but
oh, I did.
The clearing your throat.
I could see him. He's preparing. He's mentally focused.
Oh, it's so funny.
You know, I practice that during the week.
I could. I believe it. And I'm happy for it.
I find myself in the car going, I'll say it like this.
That's great.
Exciting news in the land of Guild Wars 2 and Tyria. Next week, the episode 2 of season 4 drops, which means a whole new map and a whole new story.
Do you know this by a time frame, or do you get an email?
I get an email. They announce
it. So it's not like every third week of the month or anything.
It was about time. I would have been surprised. I would not. I guess it would have been all right if they didn't, because I assume there is something coming for April Fools. But it's probably the same event that they put at April Fools. So if they didn't have one in here in between Chinese New Year and April Fools, it would have been a longer time than normal for a content drought for them in their current iteration. So I was expecting it. But it had they done it in like mid-April, that would have also been okay. So it's pretty exciting. And this one apparently is going to take a little bit of a turn. So starting next week, I think it actually comes out tomorrow, on Tuesday. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So next week, I'll have lots to talk about. Within the continuation of the storyline, looks like it's going to be a little spy motif. Going to be a little 007 thing. We're going to pull off a spy mission.
But in a Guild Wars, you're not going to be all tuxedoed up. Like, you're still wearing like robes and stuff. Warlock.
Yeah, because it's more. It leans into the sci-fi realm at times, and so there are in the world of Alona, which is where the expansion is taking place. This southern nation, which is similar to like Egypt or Arabia, there are a lot of nobles, and there are people in very nice outfits, and they're more Eastern and African inspired, with like robes and shawls and things. But there's absolutely throughout the game, there are always nobles and people with tuxedos, and you can actually buy a tuxedo in the game if you want to be dressed up fancy. People do that for weddings and things, you know, because their characters get married in the game, and then sometimes real.
Have you
people
been invited to a Guild Wars wedding?
No, for as much as my passion of the game, I'm not as big into the community as I should be. I haven't found a group of people that I would love to be a part of. And actually, ArenaNet has started a thing this year where they call it Friendships, where they showcase the real life friendships that have formed over playing Guild Wars. So they've been highlighting marriages that have happened through meeting in Guild Wars and deep guild bonds that have happened from people playing together.
That's fun.
Yeah, that's all on their social media channel.
I like the idea of that. You know, like you have high school sweethearts. I like the idea of we're Guild Wars sweethearts.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Going back to the Overwatch League, I watched someone propose during the break on the Overwatch week. They came back and they're like, yeah, these guys just got engaged.
Wow.
Right now during the break. So during this time leading up to next week's episode drop, I have been using the time to fly around on my Griffin, and I have not really realized the full impact of being able to float. And I haven't even unlocked all of the abilities of the Griffin. We can move around with such ease and convenience. I'm snatching up mastery points and vistas. It's such a joy to go around. And everything's super, not it's not easy, but it's accessible. Does that make sense? Ooh. Where it doesn't feel like I'm being pounded.
That's why you get a Griffin.
Yeah, that's why you get a Griffin.
It's really accessible.
Nice. And so these maps that have come up, there's just so much content to them. And then I went for the legendary and I got a little distracted. Now I'm taking the time to go back and try to access all the little things to do on the map, all the events, get all the points of interest, get these mastery points. So when the next episode comes out, I'll have lots of mastery points to spend on the upgrades and new magics and things. So exciting time.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so next week.
Next week,
next episode is when we will hear about the new episode.
The new season. Season 4 of Living World, season 4, and it's episode 2. So I may, because what you have to do for these episodes is there's about a 30-minute standalone solo campaign thing that you have to do, like a thing that only you can do by yourself, so far as I can tell. And then you get dumped out into the map, into this new area that you can do whatever you want to in there. And then continue within the story. So I'll definitely have finished the main part of the episode.
Have you been playing this game long enough to where when this happens, you're kind of like, oh, that'll be fun? Or is it like, oh, yeah?
It's almost to the point. It's the same feeling I have when New Skylanders come out, of like, there's just so many great things that it's like another diamond in my pile of diamonds, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
where I'm like, I love it, but there's so many things that I haven't saturated in enough yet. that I feel like, oh gosh, I hope there's time for me to go back and really marinate in these things and discover the things that were special about it. And really the reason why is because there are just so many other games to play right now that I don't have the time that I used to pour into Guild Wars, because my son loves playing Plants vs. Zombies, and that's what we do now.
And you enjoy that though, right?
Oh, I love it. To be able to game, to watch him evolve, just watching a five-year-old in the space of less than 2 weeks go from not being able to control anything, just shooting the walls and like kind of moving around, to now he uses the two joysticks as if they were actual joysticks, and to shoot and stuff and manage it all on his own with little to no interaction from me.
I'm sorry if I ruined this for you.
No, not at all.
But what has become for me is watching them not have that same vigor to other things in life.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's me being a bad parent or not, but I constantly bring that back. Like, I was helping Jack with some math homework, and I could just tell he was just like, he was tired of it. He didn't want to do it kind of thing. So he's just being like, I don't know the answer.
Mm.
Pretending like he didn't have the skills to figure it out, even though I knew he did. And so I was kind of like, I go, listen, you have the wrong father for that game. All right. I'm sorry, but I know you and I know what you could do. I said, that game that you play in there is for like 16-year-olds, and you have no problem figuring that out. So if you could do that,
you could
figure out some other A sounds.
But there's no killing in this.
Yes. If you could kill grape sounds and phonetics, then maybe they could really get them on board.
Give it time. So we had our first glimpse of the future today when my day got so packed that I wasn't going to have any time for any Plants vs. Zombies, and he had the largest meltdown I've ever seen him have outside of candy-related meltdowns.
Yeah.
And so I realized, like, oh, man.
He's hooked.
It's in. It's happening. Sorry, buddy.
He's also got it genetically, too. The kid doesn't have a chance.
And it's quality time. This is a conversation for another podcast of yours, but I've seen his attitude improve dramatically simply by the amount of quality time that we spend playing the video game together. So the game I wanted to tell you about that's not Guild Wars 2 is a little game called Papers, Please. Are you familiar with it?
Is it like Paperboy?
No, because that game is fun.
Oh no.
So this game is about 2 years old at this point, and there have been a lot of write-ups about it because it's on the Vita. It's available there. I think you can get it on the PS4. It is an interactive narrative, really, that explores emotional dynamics and gameplay in a way in which I have never seen before. Now, I'm confident that there are other indie games that have done things similar to this, but it takes place in a fictional Eastern European country, and you'll have to pull up the name there, Azakhanasan or something. You saw it at the top of this newspaper article. Go down.
Oh, sorry.
What does that say? How do you pronounce
that? Arstotzka.
Okay. So the idea is that you are in this communist country in the beginning of the 80s, and it has opened its borders up to the neighboring countries, and you have won the communist lottery to have a job. Mm-hmm. And so you have moved your family into a nearby hotel, and you...
Oh, so it is like, where your papers?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh,
papers,
boy.
Please. You are running the checkpoint as people are integrating into the country.
I see it. Okay.
Yeah, so there's the line. So the display is, as you can see there, there's like, you get to see the line of people trying to get into the country, and then a parking lot on the other side, your ticket booth, and then they walk up and a little grate opens, and you can see their face. They slide you things. Your face right now is remarkable. They slide you things and they tell you things. And
I've got saucer eyes because I'm seeing where this is going. This is really interesting.
You have to match their information to their identity. And so you have to look at their ID, make sure the country is the right country of where you're allowing people into. You have to hear the things. Now, here's what happens very quickly, and why this game is a big screw you, is that the screen you're actually looking at right now is what happens at the end of every day. You get paid for the number of proper admissions that you did to the country. And if you do something wrong, they penalize you after a certain number, and you don't get paid for those.
So I'm looking at a ledger, and it says saving 75, salary 0, rent minus 20, food minus 20, heat minus 10.
So you have to admit enough proper people into the country to make ends meet at the end of the day to pay for your family to have food and medicine and keep your lights on in your house.
Okay.
That's the marker of the day. And when you make mistakes, terrible things happen, right? Then the next day, the game gets more and more complex. Every day, there are new rules that are being added, more things that you're being asked to do. And very, very quickly, You begin to feel the reality of my children are at home sick and hungry, and I don't really care if this person is not from this country. I'm going to burn through this to get them into the country. Otherwise, my family is going to die. That's the game. And here's the kicker of where I really was impressed by this game.
Why does this make me want to play it?
I don't know, because it is the most stressful thing I've ever done in front of a game console. So early on, there's someone comes in and they're like, oh, you pretty, you come by, you look stressed. And they hand you a card that's clearly for a strip club. It has like those mud flap girls on it, like a silhouette. Fun. And stuff. I'm like, oh, okay. The next day, and so she puts that on my desktop along with her papers and stuff. The next day, another girl does that. But on this day, everybody's supposed to have a ticket. I look around, she hands me that card and her papers, but no ticket. So I'm like, I don't have time to think about this. I decline her. Yeah, there's the thing. I decline her, right? Send her away. The moment I go to move that card that invites me to the strip club, her ticket is underneath it. I have already rejected her from the admission to the country.
Wow.
Because I didn't think to move the strip club invitation. So she can't enter the country because of a very simple clerical error. Her life has changed and my family will suffer because I shouldn't have rejected her and now we don't get paid for that. That's this game. I've made it about 4 or 5 days in and I felt my stress level reaching the point of like, I need to take a break from this game. It's intense.
Wow. This reminds me of like a, like from our childhood, like the graphics and stuff, but and it's that, somebody from the chat room helped me out. It's that game where it's almost like you're living in the Walking Dead world where you walk around and you have to forage for everything and people will come
in the middle of the night. Are you
talking about Minecraft? No. Oh. It's a very basic looking game.
Yeah.
But it's really complex.
Oh, like Oregon Trail and stuff, that kind of thing. That's what this is similar to.
Yeah, it's
in style.
I'm waiting for somebody
style.
To throw it up there in the chat room. But it was a game that I stumbled upon and looking through news, and I found it really interesting because it was just basically a very dark, dark game. Not Half-Life 3. That's funny. I don't know if you guys are making fun of me. If you are, I deserve it. Yeah. But
it was a Philips CDI.
Is it Don't Starve? I don't know. Anyway, point is that it's. That's what it is where you, the point of this game is that you're like, you could come across a kid and you could decide whether or not you're going to kill that kid or bring him on. And then you bring him back to your shelter. And then everybody else is angry because now you brought another mouth to feed and they have to go out and forage for food and all that stuff. Like there's these ever evolving.
It's a social conquest. Yeah. Exploring social dynamics.
Yeah. And it was really interesting. And I think that's what interests me.
Well, get the game. It's only $10 on your Vita.
I'm going to do that. But it is. It's weird how dark it is, though. Like
it's hard. That's what was hard to do. Of like, I made the choice of I'm going to help my family over caring about these strangers, and I know that's going to come to bite me. And I think the idea is that you keep practicing the game and just kind of learn the difficulties of communism and the impossible task of letting people in a certain amount of time.
Vince is right. It's called This War of Mine.
Well done, Vince.
I saw it in an article or something. And I don't think we talked about it on the show, but I think I saw like a trailer of it while I was preparing.
If it was on the Philips CDI, I would definitely remember it.
But see, like this is kind of the graphics of it. And you see like a half cutout of an apartment building and you have all these people in your group and you know, you could choose to rest or take watch. It's really interesting what they've done, but I think it's only on Steam and I don't have Steam.
Oh, you will when you get that new computer and start playing Guild Wars.
Oh, that's right. That's definitely right. Do you think I'll be able to on the new computer play Hey Ba, There's a Goat on the Roof?
Definitely. Cause I'm working on a modern day adaptation.
All right, good. Yeah. I like that's, how did you stumble across this?
I'm reading articles about interactive narratives and that one came up as very well reviewed. And then I was trying to find a new Vita game that I could really sink my teeth into. That one had been in the back of my brain for years and it was not the fun experience I'm looking for.
Yeah. That's the thing is what you're not saying this is a bad game. I think it's an amazing game.
It is not an entertaining game.
Yeah.
It's like, watching
someone like you,
I'm just saying it's like watching Schindler's List. In that there's art being involved there. There's craftsmanship. It is exploring incredible things, but it is not. I don't think it's a game that's going to unwind you. Right? I don't think it's going to relax you playing this game. This is not something where you get to turn your brain off.
I'm going to try it, and I wonder because it would be interesting if I disconnect, even though I'm the guy who benched Chad Jones and
knowing
Madden
you,
game.
You're going to get so invested in the world that you because this happened to me. later, I was thinking about Plants vs. Zombies, and we had a bunch of money accrued in that game, and I was going to purchase some more characters. And I thought, oh, I have 75,000 coins in Plants vs. Zombies. Oh, great. Now I'll have money to pay for my family, which is what you did years ago playing The Sims, remembering that you had all this fantasy money and you tried to pay rent with it.
Yeah, that was also the beginning of the end of The Sims.
Exactly. And I think that's what it becomes so real that I found myself caring so much for this fictional family that I want. I'm like, okay, I need to manage my emotions for this better.
I like this idea. I think it's good. Kudos to whoever created this. Yeah. Like I want to say fun concept, but it's not fun.
It's not, that's what I'm trying to say. It's not fun, but it absolutely needs to exist. In the same way that comic books don't have to be just superheroes. Yeah. There's so much more that convention can do. Games can be so much more than blowing up aliens. We never need to stop blowing up aliens. I'm not saying that. We will always blow up aliens in video games, but we can do other things. I love them.
Would you let aliens into Artsotska?
If they were like fifth in, and I got to get them in by six. So
it's an I'm more curious about how you make this into a game, like how the gameplay works.
You'll have to see.
I will definitely.
It's a Vita experience for sure, because the touchscreen and all.
That mess out. All right, that was our show. Good times with Doodle Noodle today.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
It sounds super condescending, but I was going to say,
I like your spirit. I like her spirit. She's my spirit animal.
I hate that person. you can follow Kevin at Unlockable Man on the Instagram, but the big thing, you need to go to twitch.tv/TheKevinMiller.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. To Vince, over 200 new followers. I think I said that on air, didn't I?
Yeah.
Over 200 followers, just so with that in mind, we're at 300 followers. If we get 500 followers on there, I'll start twitching Sly Games. So that looks like it's going to happen pretty dang quick. So get on there, and we'll start live streaming some Sly Cooper games with the voice of Sly.
I love it.
I know that guy.
I do. I've heard of that guy.
He's great.
Right? I don't like that hippo guy. unfair. Oh, so unfair, but funny to me.
And so if that worked, Vince, and all your marketing magic, spread the word about this show, too, because if we get enough followers for this show, Justin could quit his job.
That's
which
true.
Is why we're doing this in the first place.
If we can make this show, if this show started getting anywhere from, I'm going to give you a wide range here, anywhere from 10,000 to 50,000 downloads per episode, then that's a wrap for us.
Like, oh, really?
Yeah.
We'll keep doing it.
Yeah, no, we'll keep doing it, but it'll mean that I don't think either one of us would have to work. But
really?
I may not.
What understand. Are we at right now?
The last episode, I think we're, I want to say 1,500.
Oh, this is a completely realistic goal.
Yeah.
Just 10 times the amount we have now?
Yeah.
Vince, make it happen.
Yeah. Hell, I'll give you a bonus if you can make that happen. I'll give you a cut or something. I don't know why I'm just still talking. I don't have anything else to say. Check the description of this episode. Yeah, exactly. check the description of this episode for all of the social media handles. I gave the Twitch. That was a big one for me. And I think that's it.
That's it. Tune in next week. I'll give you more reimagining of the Star Wars prequels.
On behalf of Kevin Miller, this is Justin Worship saying,
okay, bye.